Good evening to you folks out there in internet land. Pastor Gene here. Tonight, we're going to get back into 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to find in this chapter the death of Samuel the prophet. Remember him? Samuel, his mother gave him to live with the priest Eli. Remember? Samuel died. We're going to look at where David asked a man named Nabal, who's a foolish man, which his name depicts. Nabal means a fool. Do you think his parents would name him Nabal, meaning fool? Probably a name he picked up along the way that coincided with his nature, his actions. We'll find where Nabal refuses to help David. Nabal had a wife who was a very intelligent, smart wife, and she pacifies David because David was going to kill every man of Nabal. In this chapter, we're going to find out that Nabal dies. And then David marries Abigail, the wife of Nabal, after he had died. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 25. But before we go there, if you would, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ this evening. I'm asking, Father God, to anoint me in such a way, Lord God, that everyone could understand and hear spiritually what I'm saying through your word, Father God. And Lord, I pray for this nation. Not only for the message, Father God, for tonight or the Bible study, but I pray for this nation, Father God. And Lord, as we prayed in the concert of prayer, I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, that you would grant us spirit-sensitive-led leadership in the next presidential election. And I ask God to neutralize all the satanic influences at every level of the political life of this nation. And I'm asking God to quicken the hearts of your very elect to intercessory prayer for this nation. And I'm asking God to neutralize the power and the influence of the spirit of the Antichrist that are in this nation. And I'm asking God in the name of Jesus Christ to penetrate the darkness and the deceptions in the false religious systems across this nation and the nations of the world, and penetrate them, Father God, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and save the very elect that are within those corrupt systems. Father, we know these are big prayers, but Father God, we're asking, Lord, to intercede on our behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So all of Israel, they knew Samuel. They mourned for him. The death of Samuel, the last of the judges, brought Israel to the end of an era. So widespread was Samuel's influence among the people that all Israel gathered to lament his death. Then they buried him there at his house in Ramah. And we find that David gets up, he leaves, and he goes to a desert area in the northeast region of the Sinai Peninsula, which is called the wilderness of Paran. Verse 2, and there a man in Maon, whose possessions were in Carmel, that's not Mount Carmel, different place, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. This Carmel means vineyard land, a garden spot. It was about 7 miles south of Hebron and 1 mile north of Maon. This was the same spot where Saul had erected a monument in his own honor. Verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance, but the man was a churlish, evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. So this name Nabal, it means a fool. Now, I doubt seriously that his mother and dad at his birth named him fool. How many parents would name their child fool? Probably this name Nabal got picked up along the way after he started developing into the person that he was. And it was probably a nickname hooked on him, Nabal, fool. And it was appropriate in the view of his foolish behavior. This gal, Abigail, Nabal's wife, means my father is joy. The wife of Nabal, who was intelligent and beautiful, in contrast to her evil husband. He, meaning Nabal, was a Calebite, meaning Nabal was a descendant of Caleb and lived in Caleb's tribal holdings. But he did not possess the spiritual qualities of his illustrious forefather. Verse 4. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. Verse 5. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said to the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Verse 6. And thus shall say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. Verse 7. And now I heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while that they were in Carmel. 8. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let this young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. Verse 9. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all of those words in the name of David and ceased. So what's going on here? While hiding out in the wilderness, David and his men took the job of protecting the flocks of Nabal. Upon hearing that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 of his men to collect their rightful compensation for the good that they had done. And it was a festive day. It was a day of rejoicing over the abundance of sheared wool from the sheep. So David is saying, you know, you guys go up there and talk to Nabal and let him know that we were watching over his sheep for him, taking care of his shepherds, that none of his flock were killed by a wild beast or anyone coming in and steal them. And it was expected that Nabal would take care of them and give them things to eat, stuff like that. David sends these 10 men to Nabal. But look at verse 10 now. This is where Nabal refuses to help David. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There may be many servants nowadays that break away from every man his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men whom I know not which they be? 12. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all of these things, all of these sayings unto David. 13. And David said unto his men, gird you every one his sword And they girded every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. So we find here that David sent his men up to Nabal for help in providing some provisions for him for the work that they had been doing, watching over his possessions. And Nabal refused. He said, "I don't know no David." Well, he's implying here everybody knows who David is. This was a festive day, and they were rejoicing over the abundance of the sheared wool from the sheep, and Nabal here pretended ignorance of David. And he said basically it was a sham, purely a sham. The knowledge of the young king-elect was widespread, and Nabal pretended not to know, to excuse his unwillingness to do what was right. So he scorned these men that David had sent there, because David had sent his messengers to greet, to bless Nabal. But David's men were viciously rebuked by Nabal. And this term, rebuked, emphasized the wickedness of Nabal's action. This testimony of one of Nabal's men affirmed the value of David's protection. It was like a fortress, a wall, enclosing a city, providing total security. So when these men come back and told David, he was incensed. He was mad. If you remember back in the cave, when Saul came to the cave and David's men told him, said, "Hey, there's your chance, kill him, kill him, kill him." Well, David acted out of respect. He did not allow his temper flare. He did not allow self to control his emotions and his actions. But here we find a different story. David flares up, gets mad. He didn't consult God. He took it upon his own self. He's going to kill the man, any that pisseth against the wall. So he would have killed every man and every male child. How dare this man? I will kill him and every man that pisseth against the wall, that there won't be a man left. Well, we can see the difference there when the flesh got involved. Verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them." Verse 15, "But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as they were conversant with them when we were in the fields." 16, "They were a wall or protection unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep." 17, "Now therefore know and consider what thou would do, for evil is determined against our master and against all of his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." So this testimony of one of Nabal's men affirmed the value of David's protection to them, and it being like a fortress wall enclosing a city, providing total security. But they said, you know, Nabal, he's a son of Belial, a worthless fellow. Nabal's situation was a product of his own wickedness. His unwillingness to seek the counsel of others ultimately led to his demise. Then Abigail made haste, verse 18, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. 19. And she said to her servants, "Go before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down to the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now Abigail knew that Nabal would disagree with her actions, but knowing the Lord's choice of David, she recognized the consequences involved in Nabal's cursing of David. By her actions, she chose to obey God rather than man, as a wife may sometimes need to do, to obey God, rather than her husband, because of the actions and things that her husband may be involved with are ungodly. She needs to obey God. Verse 21. Now David had said, "Surely, in vain, I have kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me, or repaid me, evil for good." 22. "And more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light. Anything that pisses against the wall." And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Unto me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray, speak in thy audience and hear the words of thine handmaid." Interesting that Abigail recognizes the ways of her husband, and she took it upon herself to provide these provisionings for David and his men after one of Nabal's men had told her how David and his men had protected them. And she's rushing to David, going toward David. And as she sees him, and David sees her, she gets down off of her donkey, bows down before David, and said, "Please forgive me." She is taking the blame for what her husband did. And she says, "My Lord," speaking to David, "upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray, speak in thine audience and hear my words." So she's basically saying, you know, punish me, but let me speak before you do. This was a woman of wisdom, of forethought, a very smart, intelligent woman, a very thinking woman, a woman that any man would be honored to have as a wife. Yet this fool was married to him. You know, it makes you wonder, why do opposites attract? Many cases, many times, opposites attract. You may know of people like that. And you say, how in the world could they ever become man and wife? They're so opposite. Well, this was Abigail and Nabal. And so she's not telling her husband what she's doing, because it wouldn't have done any good, and he'd probably not allowed it to happen. So she's basically going behind her husband's back and providing these goods for David and his men. And she said a strong oath of self-imprecation. David swore that he would kill every male in Nabal's household by daybreak. He said, anyone who pisses upon the wall. Verse 25, Abigail says, let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord when thou didst send them. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgiveness. Forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been given or found in thee in all of thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with thy lord, thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. So Abigail is saying to David, and she's calling him my lord, she's saying, let this iniquity fall upon me. And said, let not my lord, meaning David, regard this man, and she calls him man of Belial, even Nabal, he said, because he's a fool. And his name even tells you that. And his folly, you know, he lives up to his name. He is a fool. She said, I did not know that your men came. Had I known, she's basically saying, I would have did something to help you out. And she's now pleading unto him not to kill or take his vengeance out on this fool of a man, saying his name, Nabal, proves that his character is named right, because he is a fool. He's morally deficient. So we find here that Abigail's perceptive insight fit an essential features of David's covenant. In other words, she said, I know you're fighting the battles for the Lord. You're a man who fought the Lord's battles, and you are truly God's king. And she's saying, I know you're going to be king. I know you're fighting the Lord's battles. But she says, you know, my Lord, this blessing that I have brought unto you, Lord, let it even be given to your men that follow you, David. And she goes on to say, forgive me, forgive my trespasses of your handmaid. And she says, I know that the Lord will certainly make you a sure house, or an established house, family because you fight the battles for the Lord. And I know that evil has not been found in you, David. She doesn't call him David, but that's, I'm saying that so you know in reference that she is speaking of her Lord, meaning David. And she even says, I know that there's a man that has risen up to pursue you, trying to kill you. And she's talking of Saul. But she said, you know, but your soul, David, my Lord, shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of your enemies, God will sling them out like a stone in the middle of a sling. And when she said that this, they will be bound in the bundle of life or the living, this is a metaphor that reflects the custom of binding valuables in a bundle to protect them from injury. The point here is that God cared for his own as a man would care for his valuable treasure. David, she said, enjoyed the protection, the divine protection, which destined him for great things. On the other hand, God would fling his enemies away like a stone in a slingshot. And she goes on to tell him and said, you know, it's when it comes to pass, when the Lord, that's L, capital L, capital O, capital R, D, when Almighty God shall have done to my Lord, meaning David, according to all the good that you have spoken concerning you, David, and when he's appointed you ruler over Israel. So she's saying in verse 31 there now, this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood costless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, and remember thy handmaid. So she's saying to David, when you become king, ruler over Israel, she said, don't do what's in your heart to do right now to this man, to this fool, because shedding this blood or avenging yourself upon him, because she said, when the Lord God Almighty will deal with you, David, and you become the king, remember your handmaid. And she's saying, remember me, David. Verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee to me this day to meet me. 33. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Abigail was certain that David would exercise rule and authority over Israel after Saul's death. And in the meantime, however, she did not want him to do anything to jeopardize his future, endanger his throne, or violate God's will by seeking personal vengeance in anger. So Abigail, a very intelligent, smart woman with great godly insight. Verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, He held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. Verse 37, but it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. So when Abigail told him, that's Nabal, of these things that had happened the next morning, after he'd sobered up, Nabal apparently suffered a stroke and became paralyzed until he died. Now we find out where Abigail, David marries Abigail. Verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. So no doubt David is jumping with joy here when he heard that Nabal was dead, because he had been spared from sinning and taking Nabal's life of his own hands. And the one responsible for the intercession here was Abigail. And the Lord took care of David's enemy once more. And David obviously was impressed with Abigail, sought to take her as his wife. And you think, well, having Nabal, all of these riches that Nabal had, and here David is running from a man with 600 men, do you think she might have stopped and think, do I want to marry this man? He has no riches. What does he have? But she knew. She knew this was a man was fighting the Lord's battles. And she knew in her heart, I believe, that David would one day become the king of Israel. So what does she decide to do? Do I stay here where there's riches in my home, or do I go with this man who one day will be the king? Well, let's find out. Again, verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed or conferred with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Verse 40, and when the servants of David were come to Abigail, to Carmel, they spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. 41. And she arose, bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose, rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they also, both of them, his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, remember David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galeam. And we will pick back up next week in the studies of 1 Samuel. Next week we're going to get into chapter 26. And we're going to find out again where David spares Saul's life again. But until then, this is Pastor Gene saying, God bless you and yours really well, really good. Father, I'm asking God in the name of Jesus Christ to watch over and protect these folks who have been listening and going through these studies on Wednesday nights. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would just open their hearts and their eyes to the understanding and lessons that are learned here in your word on these Wednesday nights. Open their hearts, their eyes, their minds, Father God, to receive the truth that your word speaks as we go through these studies. And Lord God, grant them, Father God, an ever-increasing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word. Father, that it may be used for the further advancement of your kingdom in each individual. So I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.